We look to the Lord in prayer and seek again that we might have that real sense of the Lord's presence with us, the help of the Lord, as we would come to his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow again before thee, entering into thy presence in prayer and bringing our petitions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, tonight we praise thee for all that we have in the Redeemer. We thank thee for the sacrificial work of the Saviour on the cross. We praise thee, Lord, afresh for his precious blood that he shed on Calvary. We thank thee that there is cleansing from sin through his blood. We rejoice, O God, that tonight there is a rightness with God, a reconciliation to God, all through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray that thou would bless the preaching of thy word here in this service. We thank thee for all who have gathered and for all who will look in. And, O Lord, we pray tonight that the word of God will have free course. We pray that thou would give help in the reading of the word and the preaching of the word, that everything will be according to the mind of the Lord. We do pray that thou would bless the preaching of thy word up and down the province tonight. We pray for every place where faithful men of God preach faithfully the things of God. We pray that there will be the evidence of the pleasure of God stamped upon each place. We pray, Lord, that tonight sinners will be saved, that the word of God that is preached will be taken by the Spirit of God and applied to hearts that the Spirit has already prepared, and that that word will bring forth fruit unto righteousness. We pray that thou would bless thine own blood-bought people tonight, and as we together would consider the gospel message, we do pray, Lord, that every heart and soul that knows the Saviour will be blessed and edified afresh as we consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, as we consider the mercy of God, the love of God in saving sinners. We look to thee. Do remember again the one who would normally be preaching the word tonight. We pray that thou would remember the Reverend Steward. Keep thine hand upon him, upon his wife, and upon the child. And, O Lord, we pray at this holiday time that would do them good, that it will be a season of refreshing to them. Undertake for them. Bless, we pray thee. Lord, we look to thee for all of this. We need thee. We throw ourselves upon thee. Help in the preaching of the word. We pray, Lord, that thou would take away every distraction from hearer and preacher alike. Grant to me that fresh anointing. Let me know the power of God, that liberty that is found in the Holy Ghost in the setting forth of the gospel message tonight. Give me clarity of mind. Take from me every distraction. I pray, O God, that thou tonight would give that clarity of speech so that there be an understanding of what the Lord has to say to us. We look to thee. Answer prayer. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Our reading for this evening is found in Matthew and the chapter 26. Matthew, the chapter 26. We're going to commence our reading at the verse 20. That's Matthew, the chapter 26. And the first 20, could I just say before we read, again, a word of thanks to our brother Melvin for his words of welcome tonight. I also want to say that I do appreciate the invitation to come along today and to preach God's word. I count it a great privilege to be here, not only this morning, but again here this evening. And I want to thank the minister of the church in the session for that invitation to me. We're glad to be here. It is a great delight to see how the Lord has honoured and blessed the preaching and the preacher of his word over these past years. And we trust indeed again that tonight the Lord will be pleased to bless in the preaching of his word. Reading then from Matthew chapter 26, the verse 20. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Amen. May it please the Lord to bless the reading of his infallible word here this evening. The scene that is before us here in this chapter and in these verses that we read together has been portrayed on many pictures and sculptures. Christ with his 12 disciples sitting down at the Passover feast, commonly called the Last Supper. It was then that Jesus informed them that among them was one who would betray him. And of course this caused much by way of great sadness and great searching of heart. Then as they were eating, Jesus pointed to that which spoke, that which was symbolic of his atoning death. He pointed to the bread, representing Christ's broken body, and the wine, of course, representing his shed blood. Now here is that great fundamental truth, that basic and necessary doctrine that has all to do with the saving of souls. Here is the atoning work of Christ on Calvary. I want to consider these verses as we have read them, and I want to look mostly at the verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Taking up that verse, could I say that we have here, first of all, the great purpose that God intended. And that purpose is the remission of sins. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This word remission, it's a word that is translated by a number of different words in our English Bible. It is translated also as forgiveness, and as deliverance, and as liberty. Here we have, if you like, a summary of what this word remission really means. Literally, it is a sending away, or a putting away. It is putting it away. When we turn to Hebrews and to the chapter 9 and to the verse 26, we have there the real sense, the purpose of the word, because we read of Christ, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There we have the term brought before us. It is a putting away of sin. That's the sense of this word remission. The term is well illustrated in the Old Testament. Back there in 2 Samuel 12, after David had acknowledged his sin and confessed it before God, Nathan said, The Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. It is a putting away of sin. It is the removing of sin, putting it far from us. In the 103rd Psalm, in the verse 12, we read this, As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And so here we have the purpose of God brought before us. It is God removing our sin, putting our sin away from us, forgiving us our sin, setting us at liberty. That is the term that is used here. People, we need to remember that man is a sinner. And what a truth that is. All should know it, and all ought to feel it, that man is a sinner. And yet how slow is mankind to acknowledge this? All excuses are made for wrongdoing. Some will say, well, I can't help it. Others will say, I try my best. There are yet some who will say, others are worse than I am, and so the excuses continue. But man is a sinner, and he's a sinner living without God and living without a hope of heaven. But God has devised a plan, the purpose of which is to remit the sinner's sin and to put those sins away from them, to remove their sin, to forgive their sin, to set the sinner at liberty. That is the purpose of God. But God cannot simply ignore sin, and God cannot simply condone man's sin. Divine justice will not allow that. The Word of God, divine justice, has declared, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's the punishment for sin. The wages of sin, wages would indicate to us it's something that we have worked for, it's something that we deserve. And what we deserve because we are sinners is eternal punishment, it is eternal damnation in hell. But the plan must satisfy God's justice. God has devised a plan. That plan must satisfy God's justice, and God's justice demands full payment of the penalty of sin. That is the purpose of God. It is remission of sin. But we have also here in this verse the gracious provision that God has made. Look at the verse again. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is my blood. And when we're talking here about the great provision that the Lord has made, we're talking here about the blood. And we read it as my blood. Do you see, only the blood of God can deal with sin. Only the blood of God can cleanse from sin. And not the blood of any mere man that is contaminated with sin. Only the blood of the virgin-born, sinless Son of God. Over in Acts in the chapter 20, in the verse 28 there, we read of the blood, and it is called the blood of God. We sometimes sing that hymn, that wonderful hymn, what can wash away my sin? And of course the answer is well known to those who are familiar with the hymn, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me clean again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We read of the value of the blood oftentimes in the Old Testament. And there in Leviticus, in the chapter 17, the verse 11, we read that it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In 1 John, the chapter 1, the verse 7, we read there of the blood of Jesus Christ. We read that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. People, never forget that the blood shed on the cross is the blood of God the Son. It is the blood of the covenant of grace. That's the point of that verse in Hebrews 10 and verse 29, where the ungodly counted the blood of God as unworthy, an unholy thing, and trampled it and the Son of God underfoot. They regarded the blood of God as something of no value. They would have trampled it underfoot. They would trample underfoot the very Son of God, the Redeemer of sinners. And so what we have here when we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, here, people, is the cross work of Christ. Here is the cross work of Christ. We already looked at that verse 26 in the chapter 9 of Hebrew. And there we read of the sin, that sin is put away by the sacrifice of himself. It brings us to Calvary. The gospel message brings us to Calvary. It is Christ on the cross as the sacrifice and the substitute, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, and in doing so, satisfying the justice of God on our behalf. The justice of God can never be satisfied by anything other, not by our own works, not by our own good deeds, not by our own connections, not by our own upbringing, our family connections. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can deal with sin. Only the atoning work of Christ can satisfy the justice of God. Over in Romans, in the third chapter of Romans, we read in the verse 25 of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the verse 24 we read, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. And there we have the subject again, the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. But it is the opening phrase of the verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Christ is our propitiation. And the word, that word that is used there, propitiation, it is the word which means satisfaction. It is the word which means appeased. The justice of God is satisfied. The justice of God is appeased by the payment that Christ made on Calvary. And therefore God's wrath that was due to us because of our sin is turned away from us. Christ bore that wrath for us. People, it is on this ground that God forgives the sinner. It is on this ground, the ground of the atoning work of Christ, that our sins are put away from us and we have remission. We have deliverance from the penalty of sin. Our sin is forgiven. We are set at liberty. It's on the ground of the shed blood of Christ. Hebrews 9 and 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. But we look at the verse again, and we can see the grievous pain that the Saviour endured. For this is my blood of the New Testament which is shed. This is my blood which is shed. And literally, that word means to be poured out or to gush out. It is translated in the New Testament by those two particular terms. The blood of Jesus Christ gushed out or poured out. It shows to us his wounds. Again, it brings us to the cross, to the wounds of crucifixion. And we can see in the mind's eye tonight the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There we can see the wounds that he bore in his hands, in his feet, in his head. We can see the Saviour there slain on the cross of Calvary. What a picture that is. There is the grievous pain that the Saviour endured for us. Imagine it tonight. Think of the pains, the pain that he endured when those old, rough, long Eastern nails were hammered through his hands, securing him to the cross, to the wood of the stake. Think of the Saviour as his feet were held together and nails driven like a spike through the heels of his feet right into the wood. Imagine the pain of it. We see his head. We look at his forehead. We can see the crown pressed upon it. Those long thorns digging into his head and into his forehead, and the blood is flowing down his face. That's the picture. His back has been ploughed open, the furrows in his back ploughed open by the man who used the whip with expertise as he laid the whip with those stones or metals that were entwined in the whip. And as he laid it upon the back of the Saviour, he was able to draw it right down his back until his back was opened and the blood flowed down the furrows that he made in his back. People, we look at Calvary and we can see there the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can, to some degree, imagine something of the pain that he endured there. These were real wounds. They were open wounds. These were death wounds. These gaping wounds indicate the awful sufferings of Christ, the Lamb of God. His pain and agony as he hung there on the cross. We read in the scriptures that he was slain. The Lamb, as he was slain. The word people is slaughtered. The Lamb as he was slaughtered. Slaughtered on Calvary. When we look at that word shed there, the sense of that word, the meaning of the word is voluntarily shedding his blood. He shed his blood. He shed it voluntarily. Here is the voluntary suffering of Christ. He offered up himself. He offered up himself to suffer and to bleed and to die as a sacrifice to satisfy the justice of God as the substitute of sinners. Here is the price that he paid. His sacrifice for us. Horatius Bonner wrote that hymn, "I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God." Sinner, there's peace with God through the atoning work of Christ, through his sacrificial work on Calvary. There's another verse that says, "Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look to him and pardon me." Here is God's gracious provision. Here is Christ's grievous pain. But I want you to see also here in this verse the people for whom the blood was shed. Read that verse again. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The people for whom the blood was shed. It says here, shed for many. Shed for many. Shed for all colors, all classes, all nations, all backgrounds. Shed for all who will repent of their sin and trust Christ alone for salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for many. But we want to note that word many. It's not for everyone. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for many. Do you see, people, not everyone goes to heaven. And so we cannot say that the blood of Jesus Christ avails for all, in the sense that everyone will avail of the merits of the atoning work of Christ. That is not the case. If that were the case, everyone would be in heaven. But not everyone will be in heaven. Not all who hear the gospel heed the gospel. Maybe there's some here tonight and you've heard the gospel many, many times and you're still not saved. You still haven't accepted the gospel. You have rejected it. You haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. You're not saved. You're not right with God. You're the enemy of God. You're still in your sin. Your sin is still on your own account. And if you stand before God in that state, then, dear unsaved, you will stand before God to perish forever. You will be lost eternally in hell. And you will hear those awful words, "Depart from me, ye cursed." Depart from me, ye cursed, when you are sent into everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Not all who hear the gospel heed the gospel. And dear unsaved, you're a real example of that tonight. Heard the gospel maybe for years and rejected the gospel call for years. Perhaps you've sat under the mighty preaching of various preachers. Perhaps over the last weeks and months, you've been under the preaching of the Reverend Stewart as he preached mightily and with power and faithfully in the gospel, and you've rejected that, and you're found in the very same position tonight. My friend, if that is the case, then you're not included in this term many tonight. The atoning work of Christ does not avail for those who die as God deniers and Christ rejecters. But who are the many who have their sins put away? Who are the many who are delivered from the penalty of sin through Christ's atoning work? That's the question that we're looking at here. Who is it speaking of here? When we look at the term, the many, that the blood of Christ avails for, what's the answer here? Who is this many? John 1 and the first 12 gives the answer. And there we read, as many. There's the word. If you care, you can underline it. As many. As many for whom Christ died. But reading that verse, it says, as many as receive him, that is Christ, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. There's the term. Are you numbered amongst that tonight? Here's the many. For as many as receive Christ. Have you received Christ as your Savior? The blood only cleanses those who come to Christ in faith and receives him as your Savior. So the question, people, tonight is pointed and it's personal. I know that the Spirit of God would take the question and apply it powerfully to your heart. Have you received Christ? If you have received Christ as your Savior, as your Redeemer, if you have come as a sinner by faith to Christ, owning your sin, repenting of your sin, my dear friend, if you have come to Christ and received him as your Savior, then you are numbered amongst the many for whom the blood of Christ avails. Those that are saved, those that know the remission of sins, those that God has wonderfully cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But of course, we come to the alternative. Are you numbered amongst the many who have received Christ? Perhaps there's a soul here tonight, maybe a man or a woman or a young person even. And the question goes to your heart. You scarcely know where to look. Maybe There's someone sitting beside you in the car. Maybe there's someone in a car beside you. You almost feel their eyes are on you. They're wondering how you're going to answer the question. Are you among the many tonight? And your heart would respond, no, for I've never received Christ as my Saviour. Isn't that a solemn and a serious situation? Here you are in life, but only a step from death. Who knows when the next opportunity will be? Who knows if you will have another opportunity? My dear friend, here's a solemn matter tonight. The purpose of God, it is to have sinners to know the remission of sin. And God has provided for that by the atoning work of his sinless Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People, here's the love of God, the mercy of God. Here's the purpose of God. Here's the provision of God, his own dear Son, to suffer in the place of sinners, to be the sinner's substitute, to bear the wrath of God in your place in order to turn the wrath of God away from you. And the solemnity is this, that you have rejected that provision. Oh, you listen to preaching and you're compelled to look at the cross. You can see in your mind's eye something of Christ on the cross. You can imagine something of his pain. You can think of how it must have hurt him when those nails pierced his hands. Those rough soldiers laying the wood on the ground, holding the Saviour's hand to the wood and hammering the nails into his hands and through to the wood. You can imagine the heels, the hard, gristly part of the heels, and the nails are hammered, forced right through into the wood. And you can see the Saviour there in his agony, in his pain, and he's bearing the price of our sin. My dear friend, why is it tonight that you reject such love? Why is it that you reject such a Saviour? Why is it tonight that you will not have him to be your Saviour? What have you got that's so important that it is more important than the saving of your soul? My friend, what love has been offered to you that is love greater than the love of God, the love that is displayed to us on Calvary? Do you imagine that somehow or other, you who belong to the devil and the devil's crowd, do you imagine that there's love comparable to this, the love of God? Surely you're not as foolish as that. Oh, take a look at the cross tonight and see on the cross there Christ in his agony and yet in his love. The apostle could say, he loved me and he gave himself for me. Dear friend, Christ loved me and he gave himself to the cross. He gave himself to the pain. He gave himself to the bloodshedding because he loved me. It was the purpose of God to save, and that purpose was achieved by the provision of God, found in Christ through the shedding of his blood and pain and agony and woe. Are you numbered amongst the saved tonight? Oh, that you would call upon the Lord. The promise of God is that whosoever shall call
on the name of the Lord shall be saved. From the manward point of view, the many or the whosoever that call on the Lord to save them. Again, we ask the question, have you called on him in repentance and faith? Then, my friend, if you have done, the blood of Christ avails for you. Just one last word of exhortation. We would say to you tonight, to you tonight, dear unsaved, come sinner, and be done with your sin, and be done with your self-effort, and trust Christ, and receive him by simple faith, and be saved tonight. May the Lord in his mercy have his word to be applied to your heart, and oh, that sinners would be saved, that you might know the blessing of God's so great salvation, and all of the blessings that flow from and through Christ for those that are saved. The blessings of his presence, the blessings of his provisions, oh, the sweetness that is found in Christ. Sinner, come to him tonight and put your trust in him. We'll bow in prayer, we'll close in prayer. Again, I say, if it should be that there's one gathered around, you're not saved, you feel the weight of your sin, how it grieves the Lord, you know you have offended God in your sin, you know that the punishment for sin, eternal damnation, lies before you as you are. You're convicted of sin tonight. Dear soul, I would urge it upon you, don't go home without Christ. As you sit in your car, call on the Lord to save you. If I can be of any help, then speak with me. When we close in prayer, we will make sure we can take precautions as far as safety of distance is concerned as we talk together, or speak to some of the elders that are in the car park. Don't go home without Christ. Don't go home without the benefits of the blood of Christ availing for you. We'll bow in prayer. Our God and our Father, we draw again near to thee in prayer. And how we thank thee and praise thee for the precious, precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from sin. We thank thee, Lord, for the precious Saviour, that unto them that believe, he is precious. O Lord, we praise thee for everyone in the car park tonight who knows by experience the sweetness, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preciousness of his promises, the preciousness of his presence with us, all that he has for us. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that the redeemed can look not only to the preciousness of Christ in this life, but can look beyond this life to that eternal home in heaven, that inheritance that is undefiled and fadeth not away, that is reserved for us, reserved for all of those who have remission of sin through the blood of Christ. O Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for this, but yet, Lord, it may be, thou knowest the hearts of all, it may well be that there's found here tonight some poor soul still in their sin. Oh, convict them of their sin, Lord. Let this be the evening hour when they'll close in with the offer of the gospel. Save the unsaved. Restore the backslider. Bless thine own blood-bought people, we pray, and dismiss us now with the blessing of the triune God, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, and for his honour, and for his glory. Amen.